Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? The Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in a new series. We started it last week as we kind of did the conclusion to part of the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to go back to the beginning and we're going to go through the Beatitudes together. The Beatitudes. So in Matthew chapter 5, we find the beginning there as Jesus gathered on the hillside. How many of you have been to Israel? Let me see your hands again. Let me see your hands. Do you remember the hillside where they said they thought that's maybe where he was and they had the building there? Isn't it amazing that some 2,000 years later we think we know just about everything that happened? We don't. That's why God has his word recorded for us. Amen. Funny how the telephone experience, have you ever played that game? The telephone, you get in a circle and somebody whispers something very simple in the ear of the one there. And by the time it goes all the way around, it's so distorted. That's not what I said. I am so thankful that God in his wisdom had his word recorded for us. Amen. And we have it here today as we stand together and read Matthew chapter 5. Stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 5 beginning. And we're focusing on the third verse, but let's just go ahead and read those first two verses as well. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now, how many disciples? Did it say the 12 gathered around him? They were called the 12 what? Apostles. So his disciples are not just the 12, but literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people who had gathered around him there. His disciples had gathered around him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, you've heard this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Of heaven. Now, did you notice something about the first and last beatitude? Look at them again. If you've got your Bible open, look at them again. The first one said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Now look at the last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is? See how he starts and wraps that up. Father, would you give us vision into your word? Give us ears to hear, for Father, we are reminded that we are not discovering anything from your word. You have to reveal it. Your Holy Spirit gives us your truth. So, Father, would you have us to have open ears and hearts and minds that you might indeed bend them to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The Beatitudes. We are not going to cover them all today, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be going through them. So as we start the Beatitudes, I want to give you a little jump start, okay? We've got some wonderful tools that we've been using that belong to some different people. But I'm going to tell you, we get up on that tractor that we've been using that's been borrowed from some folks, and we've tried to start that thing every time. And every time, do you know what it does? You're. So you know what we do? We get a little instrument called a charger. There we go. I was trying to remember what a battery charger. And we hook it up. And when we hook that thing up and we do that thing again, if we've hooked it up right, you know what happens? We pray it starts. Because man, what a difference that tractor has made in all of our work around here. Jump start. You know, sometimes we just need a little jump start. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. If I could go around, I would literally just symbolically put a little pair of plugs on your, of a little clippers on your ears and go, listen, because we're going to jumpstart you now into the Beatitudes. First and foremost, the Beatitudes were written for those who know Christ. Every Christian then is to exemplify the Beatitudes. Every Christian, not just for some. They're not just for the chosen few, if you will. The Beatitudes are not for the elite Christian. They're for those of us who have to walk in this world every day, which is every single one of us. They're the attitude that we are to be to the rest of the world and to one another. So they're not just for the elite, not just for the chosen few, but every Christian. That's why Jesus gave them here at the very beginning of his ministry, here at the very beginning of this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. They're not the description, if you will, of the exceptional Christian. We all know those folks who just seem to be able to walk with God every day. They have the right thing to say. They never get upset. They always have the right word. Incredible. It's not just for the exception, folks. They are to be the description, if you will, of every Christian on this earth. And we're meant to rise to the standard of each one of their traits. The second thing is that the Beatitudes, or if you want to go through the whole sermon and the Sermon on the Mount, show us a picture of Jesus Christ. They are the heart of Jesus. They show us who he is. The first Beatitude reminds us that God's kingdom is spiritual. It's not physical. How many times did the Jews look for a Messiah that would come and take over physically for them, would conquer the Romans? And even some of the disciples thought, oh, well, you know, he's got the power. We'll just take over politically as well as spiritually. But the Beatitudes show us, and especially this first Beatitude, show us that the kingdom is spiritual. Let me just remind you. What's the name of these little things are called the Beatitudes. Now, I want you to notice this. It says they are the Beatitudes, not the do attitudes. Now, I'm going to say, I know we're a people who do. We're a people who want something. Say, well, tell me what to do. Show me what to do. I want to do something. But these scriptures, dear friends, are about being. They are about a heart to be like Jesus Christ. Beatitudes. We're not told in the Sermon on the Mount anywhere, if you can live like this, you'll be a Christian. But that's how it's used to a lot of folks. They said, if you can just follow the Beatitudes, follow the Sermon on the Mount, that's all you need. There's some folks who just base everything that they do as a Christian on the Sermon on the Mount. But it doesn't say, if you can do this, you'll be saved. But what they are saying is, when God rules your heart, are you listening? Jump start. When God rules your heart, this is how you will live. Hello? You know what I found about this? I have to say with Paul, that I want to do, I don't do. And that I didn't want to do, I did. Listen, we don't do this without the help of God's Holy Spirit. And you don't do the Beatitudes without the help of God's Holy Spirit. When God rules your heart, this is how you live. The second thing is this. Every Christian is to live each and every one of these descriptions. Not some, not part, not one or two. Every Christian is to live them all. We're to exemplify everything that we read here this morning from the Beatitudes. Everything. Every Christian is to, are you ready? Be all of them. It's not like the spiritual gifts. If you've ever heard of the spiritual gifts, you know this, that the spiritual gifts are given to you when you become a Christian, when you surrender to the Lord, and everybody has a spiritual gift. Sometimes more than one, maybe one or two. But understand this, even though spiritual gifts are limited in their quantity given to you, the Beatitudes are not. You can't say, oh, well, that one's me, and that's the only one I'm going to try. God's word says that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're supposed to try to do all of them, live each and every one. We're meant to exemplify them all at the same time. If you're without one, you're incomplete. And get this, what is the first word in every beatitude? It says what? Be. blessed, or happy, fulfilled. Blessed are those who do each one of these. So if you leave one off, guess what? You're losing a blessing. Third point today. Well, you're all excited. I'm already on number three. I just got started. Understand this. The Beatitudes do not refer to a natural tendency or a natural ability. Each one of the Beatitudes is a spiritual disposition, and it's produced by God's grace alone. You don't develop this naturally. Now, all of us have some natural gifts. I know people that could do things that they don't even have to try. And yet we are not supposed to be the ones who are saying, I am developing this gift. That is God's ability in us, not our own. They are the operation of God's Holy Spirit. No one, listen to me, no one naturally conforms to these descriptions. Let me give you an example. Somebody, and you know some people like this, they might be very naturally quiet, very naturally shy, very naturally meek, but that doesn't mean that they are spiritually humble or obedient to God. Amen? So all of these traits that we're talking about are not because of your natural disposition. It's because of God's work in you. Here's the thing. We become the Beatitudes by the presence of God inside of us. Doesn't that give you some hope? You could think, well, I could never be like this. I could never have that kind of thoughts. I could never have that kind of attitude. Yes, you can. In Christ, you can. With God, you can. That's the miracle, dear friend, of the indwelling Spirit of God. That's what makes the difference. God can take a boastful man who by nature is loud and proud and make him a man that is truly humble. There's a man in the scripture who comes to mind. Anybody want to say the name of one of the apostles? Peter. Doesn't he come to mind when you think of this? Loud, proud, rambunctious, overly active, open mouth, insert foot, Peter. Folks, God can take that man, God can take that woman and make them truly humble in their spirit. Now, I want you to go back with me and read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Let's look at it again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Friends, why do you think Jesus put this beatitude first? Why is this the very first thing that he's teaching as far as a heart for heaven? Why does he promise the kingdom of heaven to this beatitude and being poor in spirit? Because this beatitude is a reminder that God's ways are not our ways. God doesn't do things like we do. God doesn't choose the leaders we would choose. God says, don't look at their stature, look at their heart. Jesus says things that by our standards just don't add up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, etc., etc., etc. Our standards, listen, our standards emphasize strength of will. Amen? Don't they? We enjoy even watching somebody that has the strength of will. Maybe it's an athlete that just doesn't quit, won't give up. Strength of will. But we also enjoy and appreciate those who have a natural beauty of character. That's the folks we like to hang around with. That's the people we like to watch. That's the people we want to emulate. All the rich things we find attractive and admirable in people, Jesus says, you better watch. Because what you want is not what you think you want and need, but what I know you need. Jesus, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus is saying, I am blessed when I know I'm in poverty. I'm blessed by knowing my poverty. Does that make sense to you? What? Jesus says I'm blessed when I know I'm poor? Not that I am poor, but that I know I'm poor. Not in money, but in spirit. Now, what in the world does that mean? What he's saying is, he says, I'm blessed when I know I have no strength of my own. That's what he's saying. That's what this beatitude means. It's a true understanding and realization of my spiritual poverty or my inability without Christ. He says you're going to be blessed when you finally figure out that you're weak. He says when you get there and you realize that you are spiritually poor, that's when you're going to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's when you are going to begin to grow in Christ, when you realize that what you've got and what you can do is insufficient. That's what poor in spirit means. Isn't that just exactly the opposite of what our world teaches us? It's exactly the opposite. We judge others and we even judge ourselves, do we not? We judge ourselves and we judge others by what they are able to produce. Wow, this is one of my most productive employees. Well, look how much I do. I made employee of the month, etc., etc., etc. We base our evaluation on what people produce for us. We see our worth in our production. Guys, why do you think that is? That every time we meet a new man, men do this. Ladies don't do this, but men do this. They come up to each other and they shake hands. Hi, I'm Gary. Hi, I'm Bill. What do you do? In other words, how do you make your money? It's one of the first things we ask. Why? Because production is important to us. This beatitude tells me to stop looking at what I can produce, and it tells me to start looking for what I need. Hello? It tells me, look for where you're deficient. And in the spiritual world, you're deficient in everything without Jesus. Jesus says, I will be blessed when I come to the awareness of my deep need for God. Of my deep need for God working in my life. That on my own, in my own power, I can do absolutely nothing. It's only when I trust all of my results to God that, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. I'm going to tell you one more time. It's not about my production, but it's about Christ's production in me. Listen, if this doesn't encourage you, you haven't flipped the switch yet. Turn it on. That's where the power comes from. Listen, I could tell the same joke all over again. Remember the Aggie and the chainsaw? What's that? Remember that one? How many of you have not heard the Aggie and chainsaw joke? Oh my goodness, okay, sorry, rest of you. Aggie bought a chainsaw. The guy says it'll cut down 10 trees in an hour. The Aggie takes it out and he comes back and he says, something's wrong with this saw. And the salesman says, what's the matter? He says, it only cuts down one tree a day, not 10 an hour. He goes, I don't know, well, let me see it. He takes the chainsaw, he pulls the thing, goes, and the Aggie says, what was that? Some of you are not letting God pull the string. Do you get it now? How many of y'all went to A&M? Okay, me too. All right. Friends, it's not about my production. Shall I say it one more time? It's about the production of Christ in me. Do we let the power come, or are we trying to do it on ourselves? This beatitude is first because to be poor in spirit is the foundation of Christian living. It is the base. Let me explain that. In a sense, all the other characteristics, all the other things we're supposed to be that lead us to do, are all built on this first beatitude. In fact, no real spiritual building is done until we realize the truth of being poor in spirit, because we have to realize that we are not the builder. God is. I'm going to ask you again, isn't that encouraging? To realize that I don't have to do it on my own. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability in Jesus Christ. When we realize that we don't discover that God reveals, folks, that's when the building begins in our spiritual life. It will only be when God instills this truth in us that He will then begin to apply the others in our life too. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what that does not mean. Let's just do a quick thing here. That does not mean, poor in spirit does not mean that you're retiring, that you're weak, that you're lacking courage, that you don't try. That's not what that means. Poor in spirit is not a personality trait. Are you listening? Poor in spirit is a spiritual influence that helps you to realize, I need God. If you're poor in money, you need somebody to pay the way. If you're poor in strength, you need somebody to do the lifting. If you're poor in brain, you need somebody to do the thinking. That's why I put good people around me. But if you're poor in spirit, hello, what do you need? I need somebody to bring me spiritual strength. That's what Christ does. That's what His Holy Spirit does. It does not mean that you're humble and proud of it. That's not what poor in spirit means. Self-depreciation is not what we're talking about here. A lot of people do this sometimes. You know, I'm just a nobody. I'm unimportant. I'm just a poor servant. Well, listen, folks, if you glory in the fact that you're humble, it just proves you're not. Nor does it mean that you suppress your own outgoing natural personality. You can be yourself. Just be it in Christ. Amen? Listen, if yourself is obnoxious, rude, and crazy, listen, you might want to turn it over to Christ. Amen? Because He will turn it to what He wants it to be. But God uses all the folks who are either naturally shy or just verbose. God uses them for who they are. God used Peter that way, and God used Matthew that way. Understand that being poor in spirit does not say that you have to be somebody else. It means to be who God created you to be, but in His strength and in His power. Now, what does poor in spirit actually mean? Being poor in spirit does mean to be humble in spirit. In other words, realize from where your strength comes. It's a big joke around the kitchen with us. We enjoy having dinner with our kids. And bless her heart, our Jenny cooks for us pretty regularly. And we'll get there, and Drew will be pulling it off the pot and say, "Look what I made." And Jenny just looks at him and rolls her eyes now. Do we give credit for the one who does the work? And of course, he makes it right. He just gives her a hard time because, you know, we all like to do that. If my wife makes something, I'll bring it out and go, "Look at the cake I made. Everybody knows I didn't do that." Well, listen, everybody knows that your ability in God is not done by you too. Why would we go claiming that? Why would we go claiming what is not ours? But God says, give credit where credit is due. And it all belongs to God. Amen? All of our ability belongs to God. Being poor in spirit means to be humble in spirit, realizing from where our strength comes and to whom should receive the glory. It means to be aware of our deep spiritual need for God. It means to be constant in removing self-pride and always putting back in that we have one thing to be proud of, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, isn't that exactly what he said? Paul said, I boast not except in the cross. Paul said, I am a chief, but I'm what? Chief of what? Sinners, he said. Isaiah wrote in chapter 6, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. When he saw God, he didn't say, oh, wow, look how I'm lifted up. He said, oh, I see myself for what I am. That's what humility is, seeing ourselves for what we are. Gideon, who realized before God that he was not worthy to be a leader, but with God, he would do all he could. Peter, who told the Lord Jesus, depart from me because I am a sinful man. John the Baptist, who told those who came to him, he said, I must decrease, but Jesus must increase. Folks, that's spiritual humility. Poor in spirit means to depend on God the Father. Depending on God the Father. Even Jesus Christ not only taught us to do that, but he showed us that he did that. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 10. Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Listen, if any earthly man had authority, wouldn't it be Jesus? But Jesus said, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who is in me does the works. If Jesus had the Father do the works through him, how much more do we need to do that? That, friend, is poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit means that we realize it is God who does the work. Boy, it's awfully tempting, is it not, to take credit where credit is not due. When somebody's really pleased with the effort, somebody's really pleased with the product, it's real easy to just say thank you, but not give the credit to whom it really goes. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're just the branch. If a man abides in me and I in him, then he shall bear much fruit. You know what he said after that? For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Wait a minute. Apart from Jesus, we can do what? Friends, I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot in my life. I've done a lot of things. I've done a lot of spiritual stuff. But according to Jesus Christ, none of it was worth anything unless it was done in him. It's not just about do. Hello? It's not just about doing. It's about being closer to Christ, close to his word, soaking up his spirit. And when we be close to Jesus, we do what we ought to do. And we're a whole lot more likely to do what we should be doing when we are being who God wants us to be. Being poor in spirit is to die to yourself so that you can live in Christ. Do you realize you cannot live in Christ until you die to yourself? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Most of you know this verse. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but what? Who? Christ lives in me. That, friends, is poor in spirit. Our very salvation starts with that. Amen. We can't even begin salvation with that understanding. We don't do it of ourselves. One cannot enter the kingdom of God because they're a good man. One cannot enter the kingdom of God because they're a good woman. One cannot enter the kingdom of God because they're a good boy or girl. Listen, the only way that we can enter the kingdom of God is because Jesus paid the price. And that we receive His gift the way He gave it and how He said we need to receive it. I can only enter heaven because of what He's done. You have to empty yourself of your ways. Listen to me. You have to empty yourself of your ways and accept God's way to get there. Understand that you, understand that we, understand that I have no righteousness before God except what Jesus gives me as I received His gift. You've got to admit that you could never get there on your own. You've got to do it totally God's way. Listen, you've got to do it totally God's way. Not Jesus plus. Hello? Not, oh, I received Jesus and I've got... No, listen, you just received Jesus by faith in Christ. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Jesus says, that's done. Now the rest of it, we absolutely want to be conformed to His will and not to this world. That comes after salvation. But your salvation comes only through Christ. Why just in Jesus Christ? Let me tell you why. Because if it's Jesus plus anything else we come up with, I'm just going to tell you, our ways don't work. You know what our ways do? They contaminate God's way. And if you tell anybody that they have to get there through what you tell them and how you think it should be done and your way of doing this instead of what God's Word says, you have contaminated the Word of God. Being poor in spirit is the daily surrendering of yourself to God. That's what poor in spirit. Let me say something. Blessed, happy, fulfilled are those who are poor in spirit. For those who realize they can't do it and will depend on God for their strength and their sustenance every day. Blessed. For theirs is the, say it, kingdom of heaven. That's where heaven comes from. Our access to it anyway. The Sermon on the Mount, boy, it's got a lot of wonderful teachings. It tells us things we need to be. It tells us things we need to do. And it is a mountain that is so steep and so high, we could never climb it on our own. Folks, you just can't do it. The Sermon on the Mount tells us, here's a mountain you have got to climb. But the first Beatitude reminds us, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. And when we try to do it on our own, we're just proving that we don't understand what it's all about. We're just proving that we don't understand the spiritual struggle. Folks, we must become utterly dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must become utterly dependent on Jesus as Lord and Savior. We must become poor in spirit. And when we figure that out, that's when we're blessed. Beatitude number one, poor in spirit, because it is the foundation for everything else to be built, not by you, but by God. Can I pray for you? Join me in prayer. What a blessing, Father, to be yours. And all God's people said, oh, Lord. God, this beatitude is just what I needed. Lord, your word that says I can do all things through Christ is what I needed. God, your word that says, without you, I can do nothing. It's just what I needed, because that's what I do. Nothing of spiritual value unless you're a part of it and the author of it. Forgive me, God, where I have blasted into the room, into the world, into the situations, and I have done my work. Forgive me, God. And Lord, would you help me to realize that if it's going to have spiritual value, it will come from you. Lord, throughout this room, there are some wonderful Christian men and women. Many of them I know well. God, there are many that I don't know well, but I believe in my heart that many are striving to please you, Lord. God, this morning, would you help them? God, would you bless them with an understanding that in order to receive what you've got, it's going to have to be through a poor spirit, realizing that they need you. Friend, would you pray that right now? Would you make that your prayer? God, right now I confess that I can't do this without you. How about this? God, I don't do marriage well without you. I don't do that husband thing well without you. I don't do that wife thing well without you. I don't do the mama, the daddy thing well without you. I don't do the child thing well without you. I am not the spiritual ambassador I need to be because I don't do it well without you. Will you make that your prayer? Lord, fill me with you so that I can be an ambassador that is strengthened by and for and through you. Because with you, Lord Jesus, I can do all things. Would you pray? Where do you need the strength, my friend? Where do you need it? Pray right now. In this quiet moment, pray. Lord, I need you. Oh, God, I need you. Surrender it to him. Whatever it is that you know you need success in, surrender it to Jesus. Daddies, husbands, surrender to Jesus. Surrender your family, your children, your wife to Jesus. Ladies, surrender your husband, your children, yourself to Jesus. And children, from 1 to 100, amen, we're all children. Submit to the Father. God, it's about you.